From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. In the Sacramento suburb of Rancho Cordova yesterday, there was a shootout between a suspect and two sheriff's deputies. One deputy, 27-year-old Mark Stuzyuk, was killed. The other deputy, 28-year-old Julie Robertson, was shot in the arm, and at least one bystander was also shot. The suspect, too, was wounded. He is in custody. At the press conference later, Sheriff Jones talked about that incident and about demonstrations that are expected in downtown. And that's because September 18th marks 6 months since the Stephon Clark shooting in South Sacramento. We are standing by. If we hear from Sheriff Scott Jones during this hour, we'll put him on the air right away. The request has been made. Meanwhile, Cap Radio's Nick Miller is in the studio with me. He is going to take us through the reporting that he's been doing on the Stephon Clark investigation. So, Nick, glad to have you here today. Let's start with Sheriff Jones's remarks in anticipation of the events today and the fact that they came at the press conference about this shooting yesterday.
Yeah, so Scott arrived at the location near where the police shooting occurred, and he sort of gave out a call to action. He said, you know, today at the convention center in downtown Sacramento, there's going to be a gathering for police officers who are part of unions throughout the state. There's estimated about 1,500 officers are going to attend.
It's an expo. It was a planned event.
It's been a planned event, correct. And Black Lives Matter is planning to show up en masse. They're busing individuals, people in, activists in from the Bay Area, from even Los Angeles.
Partly because of the Stephon Clark anniversary, but partly because they don't believe that this expo is appropriate on this date.
Correct. Yeah, they feel that it's in poor taste. It doesn't look good. And so that Sheriff Scott Jones shows up yesterday at the press conference announcing the death of one of his deputies. And he announces this call to action, too. He says, if you support law enforcement, show up tomorrow. Show up at the convention center today and go up against these protesters who are going to be there and support law enforcement.
His exact quote is, I know people have this overwhelming urge to do what they can. One of the things you can do is go down there. Go down to the convention center tomorrow, meaning today, between 11 and 1, and show your support for law enforcement. It sounds like a call for a counter-protest.
It absolutely is. And these high tensions, they're not new to Sacramento since Clark's death on March 18th. And as we continue to wait for a resolution in the investigation, we know that the outcome will invariably leave either community members or the police officers who serve them, one of the two groups, outraged. And it could, again, ignite more protests, more unrest in the streets that could bring Sacramento sort of to this grinding halt again. We remember how it was in the weeks after his death, the shutdown of the Golden One Center, the shutdown of the freeways and the streets. But one of the things I'm working on for this to mark the 6 months is to really look at the investigation and sort of pull back the curtain on what law enforcement is doing.
Let me go back and just fill in a few details. On March 18th of this year, two Sacramento police officers responded to a South Sacramento neighborhood. They chased and shot a man who'd been reportedly vandalizing and running through the area. It was dark. The man, Stephon Clark, was killed in what was later learned to be his grandmother's backyard. Police believed Clark had a gun and, in fact, that he was shooting back at the officers, though he was found only to have a cell phone, and some of the details of what transpired in the chase still remain unclear to some degree. So Stephon Clark was shot multiple times. As you said, Nick, intense protests, a volatile atmosphere, and the state attorney general's office got involved, initiating its own investigation. And I say that so that as we go forward, we realize things are happening at both a local level right now, a state level, and the county DA has yet to get the case. Am I correct so far?
Yeah. Daniel Hahn actually asked the attorney general to be a part of this investigation. The rationale behind that was to increase transparency and to show that it wasn't just local law enforcement or people from that local law enforcement ecosystem doing this investigation of their own.
So a couple points to make along the way. A lawsuit has been filed by the family. We have had two autopsy reports that have been made public. And we've heard from the DA's office numerous times saying we don't have the case yet. So outside of that, where can we go in telling this story?
Well, I went to a police chief, a former Sacramento City police chief, Rick Brazil. He retired in 2012, and now he travels all over the country working with law enforcement agencies on these investigations and on how to improve practices within the department when it comes to investigations, transparency. And so we're going to listen to some of the things he has to say.
So this is a comment made by Rick Brazil.
They take time, and it's because you don't want to miss something. You don't want to get these wrong. And so once you think you've got all the facts, you step back and look at it and realize maybe you need more information to come up with a correct conclusion. One thing that Sacramento has going for it right now is the ability to, and it's a requirement by council, but I think it's also an attitude that Chief Hahn has, is being very transparent with the public. Here's the video. Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know, and trying to keep the community informed. At the same time, everyone understands the anxiousness on the community perspective. Let's get to the conclusion. Why does it take so long? It takes long because it's making sure you get everything right. You don't want to move forward so fast that you miss something, that you get something wrong.
So this was Chief Brazil's response to my question about what Mayor Daryl Steinberg said on your show last week, Beth. He says, I understand people in the community are feeling anxiousness and frustration even that, you know, this investigation is taking, you know, 6 months and could continue for even more months, maybe into next year. So he sort of gave like some perspective, you know, these things do take time and here's why. And then so he even gave me this window into how the police department process works. You know, so there's three investigations going on in his mind. There's a internal affairs investigation, and what that means is, did these officers violate department policy? Two, there's sort of a criminal look. Did they violate the law? And then three, and this is what Brazil's really interested in, is if they didn't violate policy, what does that say about our policy? Is our policy wrong? Or if they did violate policy, what do we need to do with training? What do we need to do with de-escalation to remedy that? So he's really interested in that sort of conversation. Steinberg was also on your show last week talking about, hey, we're very, very close, very, very soon going to wrap up this investigation.
Right.
I believe those were his exact words. And so I asked the Chief Brazil about that. Are we wrapping this up really soon? And here's what he had to say about the next steps.
I wouldn't put a timeline on the DA's office, only because as they look through it, they're looking again for all the details. They want to be very, very thorough. They know it's a high-profile investigation, and they want to make sure that they have looked at every possible piece of evidence and every possible witness statement. So it's going to take a while for them to complete it. On the shooting itself, you know, it's everyone sees it. The video is out there. There's a lot of things that from an outsider looking in that you would want to know. It's always one of those questions. If you're a good investigator, you're very annoying about asking the who, what, where, when, and why questions. I'm curious. I would like to know what was on his cell phone, just to see, are there videos that are there? Was he recording along the way? You know, you look at the number of rounds that the officers fired, and you go back and look at what is their training. You got to go back and look at their training records. And again, I'm looking at more from a policy perspective and a training perspective. So when you really start peeling back the layers on this shooting, it's not just what you see in the video. It's everything that goes on behind the scene.
That's some of the answer to some of the activist questions, which are, what really takes time? I mean, the information is there, isn't it? How can it take 5, 6 months, maybe up to a year? And by the way, on the point about how soon this might get wrapped up, I did have an exchange with Chief Hahn, who said, I don't have a specific date. We continue to work hard to complete a thorough investigation as fast as we can. So if the mayor knows or is saying more than that, nobody else is confirming it at this time.
Yeah, the police department told me the same thing last week, that when they do finish it, they will make an announcement publicly. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will be disclosing any findings. But as Chief Brazil said, the DA then has a whole review process that is going to be time consuming and, you know, peeling back the layers, as he said.
So meanwhile, we do have a lot of skepticism, at the very least, and continuing distrust, continuing volatility over the anticipation of the results, and more questions about what the process is.
That's totally what's happening. I've been spending some time with the ongoing protest in front of the DA's office on G Street in downtown Sacramento. Black Lives Matter has been there for months, nearly since the shooting of Stephon Clark. And, you know, they question whether there's a conflict of interest. You know, the big thing that they point out is the DA, Anne-Marie Schubert, who will review the police's investigation, takes money from police officer associations. And, you know, I spoke to Tanya Faison about this a lot, and here's how she sort of put that conflict in her mind.
Yeah, it's definitely a conflict of interest because you're basically giving money to somebody hoping that one day when you need them that they'll be there for you. And so it ends up, I mean, we see it in front of us. You see DA Schubert, there's 22 deaths that have happened on her watch. She's never charged an officer, but she's gotten all that, almost $500,000 from law enforcement.
To be fair about it, to put it in a different frame of reference, that is the way it's always been. Doesn't mean it's right, but that's nothing new, that law enforcement leaders are taking money from law enforcement agencies for campaign contributions. And it's not just in Sacramento City and County. It happens across the state and across the country. Again, doesn't mean it's right, but it is something that typically has been done.
It's legal. It's politics. That's how it works. And a quick fact check on one thing that Tanya said. You know, she said that Schubert has never held officers accountable or criminally prosecuted them. That applies only to instances of police shootings or law enforcement shootings. She has prosecuted or filed criminal charges against officers for misconduct.
You're listening to CAP Radio's Nick Miller. He has done extensive reporting on the investigation and the work surrounding the Stephon Clark case, which is 6 months old as of today. The investigation sits at the local level with the city police department, at the state level with the attorney general's office. The case has not moved on to Sacramento County, to the DA's office yet. So you hosted a panel recently on law enforcement. And Chief Hahn was one of the panelists.
I did. It was a great opportunity. We were discussing issues that surround law enforcement reform, et cetera. And we talked about this idea that the people and the individuals who are elected officials, the DA, the attorney general, who are part of this investigation in the Stephon Clark case, are also taking campaign donations from the people they are investigating, the officers' unions. And he had a really interesting, let's just listen to what he had to say.
It depends on who the district attorney is and what they believe in, because if we said automatically it creates that conflict and that therefore they can't make a good decision, then you'd also have to say that me as the police chief can't make a ruling on one of my own police officers, which I do every day, and that I would never hold an officer accountable because I'm a police officer and I'm associated with the police department. I've terminated numerous people in my career, and I know me personally, I would not allow a corrupt officer that by law and everything else should be terminated. I know I would do that. So I think it really literally depends on the actual person. But I also believe that perception-wise, absolutely, it looks weird, right? It absolutely creates a perception that there could be this conflict. But I also say when we talk about that issue, we have to really be honest and have an honest conversation. And so far, I don't think we have.
You know, Mary Steinberg said the same thing. I'm not sure we're getting to some of the core of the conversation here.
Yeah, and the police chief, he went on to continue. So let's say that the DA no longer oversees and reviews the police investigation, that it's a, for instance, an independent team under the State Department of Justice. Well, the attorney general also takes money from these police union groups as part of his electioneering. He accepts these campaign contributions. So you're not really solving this problem or going to this place where, you know, you're always going to have people who are experts in investigating, homicide investigators, et cetera, doing these investigations are always going to potentially have that conflict. But like you said, it's a perception. It's a little weird. But, you know, I talked to Rick Brazil, who's the former chief, about this too. And he actually says, you know, you want these people doing these investigations. It's what they do for a living. They've done dozens, unfortunately, of homicide investigations throughout their careers, and they know how to do this, and that's who you want.
I think he does make an interesting point about the character of who's elected and who's sitting in that office. And I'm going to go to the number of times we've heard the DA, Anne-Marie Schubert, say, a case has to be decided by the facts, which speaks to something that Rick Brazil said, which is, what are the facts and based on what policy? What policies do we have in place? Do rules need to be changed? Does training need to be changed? Because that's predicating what is going to be decided by a prosecutor, for example, looking for charges, looking for details in the case. So it is complicated, and I come back to the fact that the DA is an elected position. And so voters have chosen this DA, chosen her twice, in fact. And for now, she's the one that will get this case, and her team will be the team to decide. And then after that, we look at what happens next, right?
Yeah, it is an instance of direct democracy. You know, if individuals are not satisfied with the DA's judgment or processes, they can take care of that at the ballot box.
Be aware that there will be demonstrations in downtown Sacramento today, most likely outside the convention center area, but could be beyond that on city streets. The COPS West Training and Expo is drawing hundreds of law enforcement officers into downtown. But Black Lives Matter will protest that event on what is the six-month anniversary of the Stephon Clark shooting. Sheriff Scott Jones, in turn, yesterday asked people who want to support law enforcement to go to that same event. It's unclear what might transpire. It's important to be aware of it, though. I am continuing my conversation with Cap Radio's Nick Miller. He's been reporting on the investigation surrounding the Clark case within the Sacramento Police Department, within the California Attorney General's office, and the case will move at some point to the DEA's office. One aspect of this, Nick, is because it was a nationally viewed and followed event, there's a bigger picture here.
Absolutely. These incidents are not going away. We've had two fatal encounters involving individuals of color in law enforcement since Stephon Clark was killed. One individual who died in law enforcement custody, the other individual who was shot by a SWAT team in a Curtis Park backyard. So they're not going away. And there's more sunshine than ever on these issues. And interestingly, more willingness by prosecutors, by law enforcement officials to have a conversation about things like, okay, so how can we make our narrative or an investigation more transparent? They sort of understand that, you know, there's people running around, they have high definition phones, they're videotaping these incidents, and the narrative is being defined outside of the facts or what they know as or believe are the facts. And so Rick Brazil and a lot of these other law enforcement leaders are saying we need to do a better job of disseminating these videos from incidents. I think that's why we saw the videos from the Stephon Clark shooting made public in less than 72 hours. We saw the Daryl Richards video, the individual who was killed in the Curtis Park backyard. Those videos came out in 8 days. There's sort of this relationship and this new transparency with the public that, frankly, Beth, is kind of astounding to me as a journalist. I remember times when I would do reporting and it would be impossible to obtain these videos and a very strident attitude by law enforcement to not make them public ever.
Even with the videos, even with the voice mic recordings that we have, there are still perception differences. And there is still an effort from the outside to try to understand where's the conflict? What's the problem here?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was one of the most fascinating things about what Chief Hahn said when I was on the panel is that, you know, the perception looks a little weird. And that's not to say that
he was talking about law enforcement groups accepting contributions from law enforcement related organizations in
yes.
campaign season.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. So I called somebody who's sort of outside of that law enforcement world, Jessica Levinson. She's a professor at Loyola Law School, and she focuses on ethics issues. And here's sort of how she views the conflict.
At the very least, there's the appearance of a problem because people understand that law enforcement is very powerful, can significantly help or hurt them in the election, and yet it is their job to investigate law enforcement. If people even think that their officials are serving their donors as opposed to their constituents, that creates a real problem.
And we've spoken to DA Anne Marie Schubert about this perception of a conflict often. You've had this conversation in the Insight studios.
Right.
We've had it with our reporters. And here's what how D.A. Schubert sort of responds to those allegations.
I don't have a problem doing my job. I've done it, whether it's a police officer being prosecuted or a regular citizen. I am proud to have a relationship with law enforcement. That is the men and women that go out into our community every day to protect the community.
Yeah. And she also points out, you know, she does file charges against officers who've committed misconduct. It just hasn't happened in a police shooting or law enforcement shooting. I also spoke with Timothy Davis. He's the executive director of the Sacramento Police Officers Association. He's hosting the gathering today at the convention center, you know, inviting other police unions from all out the state. And he really came back to this idea. It's about who the person is that's in the DA role, in the police chief role, in the attorney general role, and whether they have a commitment to doing their job. In the case of the DA, they're going to focus on the facts. The DA is going to do two things when they review the Stephon Clark case. Was there a crime committed? And two, importantly, can I take this to trial and succeed? And so here's what Timothy Davis said about the donations that he gives to elected officials.
And I think it's a little unfair to say, you know, you guys are out there protecting our city, putting your life on the line, but you're not allowed to participate in the political process. If anybody has the right to participation in the political process, it's those officers who have put their life on the line to protect it.
So he wants that voice. He wants that opportunity. And voters have a voice when they go to the ballot box to fill out their ballot, wherever it is. I don't know that there's a solution to this, is there?
No, and I think it's more about exploring that gray area. You know, we always see and I talk about this a lot when it comes to debating these investigations. You know, we have the extremes of the conversation, you know, disband law enforcement or always support law enforcement. Mm-hmm. And I think where we're going is that gray area in the middle and sort of unpacking these perceptions and these contentiousness.
As you were talking about the point being that a lot has to do with who's sitting in that office, I was thinking about Sheriff Scott Jones saying to people today, if you want to support law enforcement, come down to the convention center. Come down today between 11 and 1 and make your position known. Not every sheriff is going to say that. Not every person is going to take that perspective. That very much is individual to Sheriff Scott Jones being in that office.
And it's no secret that last week we had an incident between former Chief Rick Brazil and Scott Jones. Scott Jones, essentially in Rick's terms, locked him out. Now, Rick was the inspector general who helps review and offer oversight of law enforcement shootings at the county level. And Scott Jones was dissatisfied with one of his recent reviews in a police shooting in Rancho Cordova. And Rick Brazil is he has no access to the department. He has a lot of respect for the deputies and the people who work for the sheriff's department, but he cannot access them and he cannot get information to do his reviews anymore. So, yeah, it is a lot about who is this person. And there's people having a conversation about that at a higher level, policymakers, lawmakers, about, you know, what are some of the solutions to these issues? One of the big things is how can we achieve more transparency while still respecting the privacy of law enforcement officers. And there's a bill on Governor Jerry Brown's desk right now. It's called Senate Bill 1421.
Right.
And it's pretty unprecedented. What it would do is when these police shooting investigations are completed, done, and the findings are revealed, they would also make the investigation public, which seldom, if ever, happens in California. So I spoke to Peter Bibring, who's the director of police practices with the American Civil Liberties Union of California. And he sort of spoke to that, you know, how these officers are seldom charged. And when they are, we don't really have a window into why or why not. And here's what he had to say.
You know, the fact is that officers are almost never charged in shootings in California in the last, you know, I'm trying to think, over a six-year period ending in 2016, there was one shooting that resulted in a criminal charge in California. From 2009 to 2016, it was the only shooting was Oscar Grant that resulted in a criminal charge.
So the ACLU group of California, they advocated and helped create support for the bill. It actually had support from the California Police Chiefs Association, but it was opposed by the unions. That includes Tim Davis's group, the local group. But I mean, he really emphasized that this transparency is crucial to earning the community's trust. And here's what else he had to say.
Transparency is a huge issue, right? If the best way for the public to have confidence in the investigation is to have access to it, to see how the investigation proceeded, to see what facts the investigators found and the bases for the understand the bases for the decision and how they are rooted in the actual evidence. And when the investigation's made secret, the public can't do any of that.
So the Stephon Clark case already has influenced and changed city police laws, foot pursuit being one example. It has influenced the introduction of legislation on the state level, and we'll see what comes out of that in terms of which bills have passed. So there's been impact. There has been change. And I think you also spoke to Democratic Assemblyman Kevin McCarty about this.
Yeah, there's this difficult conversation about what is reasonable use of force. And McCarty and some other lawmakers tried to have that conversation this session, this year at the Capitol. They weren't successful necessarily, though he claims that there's some receptiveness to this idea of really exploring what is reasonable use of force. And here's how he spoke about it.
You know, the rules of engagement are, you know, certain something is hard to be Monday morning quarterback about. But, you know, we think there's room for improvement and it could save lives and frankly make communities safer and bring more public trust in the law enforcement process.
So to wrap this up, the investigation is about looking backward at what happened. But I think for so many people, the power is really in looking forward and figuring out what impact and change is this case going to prompt, not only in Sacramento, but beyond.
I think everybody who's a stakeholder in this issue truly has so much to learn. If you're a law enforcement agency, if you're a police officer, you're exploring and understanding new things about the community that you may have never been awakened to before. If you're a journalist, you're finally having a window into these processes because law enforcement, sometimes for the first time ever, are wanting to talk about it. If you're a politician and Black Lives Matter is coming to city council every week, you're really seeing a different side of the community that I don't think has been heard in the past. So this is truly a time for Sacramento to really understand and learn and go to deeper places.
Thank you, Nick.
Oh, thanks for having me.
That's Cap Radio's Nick Miller. You can find more of his reporting at capradio.org. This is Insight on Cap Radio.